After learning all this information about LEP and the focus groups and the interviews, now we decided to do an intervention. And we wanted to keep the most strong research possible, because it's an intervention. Again, me neither have money to disclose. And the objectives of this presentation, the things that I will speak about, is about the intervention model, some of the preliminary results of the components of the intervention that we are preparing right now, and some lessons learned from that preparation of these components. First, the aims of this research, this intervention, is to reduce and control hazards. And this is coming from the information from the ASK consultations, and also hearing from the farmers about their having or not having policies and regulations and rules to control hazards. Another aim of this study is to reduce unsafe practices. These unsafe practices coming from the workers and also from the farmer. And we are addressing changes in knowledge, addressing changes in perceptions and attitudes about risk-taking, and also their behaviors. And our hypothesis is that we need to sustain those changes. We would like to see farmers and workers continuing being safe, working safely, not only at the time of the ask consultation or during after the training, but to sustain those changes. So those are the basic aims of our plan study. And basically, we will have, our goal is to have 90 farms, and we will randomize them the time they call, they contact us, one to the partial intervention, the other farm, next farm, will be to the full intervention, half and half. The full intervention will consist in a consultation from the ASK services, and also the implementation of trainings for workers. Plus our hypothesis, we are inserting here a new model. It's the model from the community health workers in a typical community working for health, outreach, and education in the communities. We are going to transfer that model to the occupational setting in dairy farms. And the partial intervention will be only the consultation about safety and the trainings for workers. And we, according to all that information that we collected from interviews, observations, and focus groups, we decided to divide the training for workers in five lessons. We knew that workers are available for an hour, more or less, or sometimes less. And so we focused on the themes that are producing the more number of injuries and the severe injuries that are happening in the farm, and also on the themes according to LEP and to OSHA and according to the evidence that we gather from literature review and from our focus groups. And, of course, following the regulations in the state of Wisconsin. And the audience for these trainings are immigrant Hispanic workers, mostly from, we know that mostly are from Mexico, so we are focusing on their culture, their vocabulary, and their practices and perceptions about working in dairy farms. Most of them are from low to moderate educational level, and some of them know few words in English, some of them completely only speak in Spanish in the farm. And our training is focusing on changing knowledge, increasing knowledge about the risks and about the things that can happen to them, and also what to do to prevent those risks, and addressing perceptions and attitudes like, Dios me manda y me tengo que morir de algo, like fatalism, or I have to do it, it's my job, I have to say yes to my boss anytime. So those kind of attitudes we are trying to address during our trainings. And these lessons are based heavily on theoretical background. We are using techniques to teach adults and to make them understand the risks in the most simple manner, but at the same time trying to change their view about the risks. And so we are using significant learning practices and other learning techniques to make them understand and stay there for 1 hour and be engaged and learn about the topics. We also use principles of risk communication with ideas like communicate fairly, increase trust in the information, be objective with the information. This is a risk. This can be reduced or not, but at least can be remediated or isolated or something. So we are using that type of communication principles to during the lessons. Also, we use the principles of hazard identification and control. Some things can be controlled in the farm, and some things cannot. Some others can be exchanged for another less risky hazards, and some are only needing PPE, personal protective equipment, or changing from another perspective to reduce and control the risks. And we are also basing the design of our trainings in the health belief model, which aims to change behavior, increasing awareness about the benefits of being working safely, but also trying to increase the self-efficacy of workers in terms of, yes, I can do it. Yes, I can do this by myself. The farmer can do something, but also as a worker, I can do something else. So these are the lessons and the trainings that we are designing. We are piloting them right now, and I will give you a preliminary results about the training. And our hypothesis is the transference of the promotor de salud model, or the community health worker model, to an occupational setting. And these promotores de seguridad, their main role is to sustain the effects. So their job, their mission, if they decide to accept it, is going to be to reinforce knowledge with their co-workers or during the year or whatever they are working there in the farm, and reinforce the safety practices. Also, they will collaborate with us, with our outreach worker and our staff in the clinic, to conduct observations and monitoring every month what is happening, if changes are happening, if workers are working safely every time they are in front of a cow or cleaning or mixing or something. And also, we are planning that the promotor de seguridad is going to be the liaison between the workers and the farmer or the supervisor, and bringing their bringing the change of communication to prevent or address potential hazards observed or confronted by the workers. So this is our the model that we are going to introduce in our study. So far, we've been practicing piloting our trainings with 10 farms, almost 161 workers. And these are this is the area. Can you see the pink? Yes. The pink area is where we think is the Marshfield Clinic. And the red spots are the farms where we've been piloting our training. And those are the darker sides of these maps are the farms with most number of Hispanic workers. So we have a good area to implement our study, apparently. Okay, the education through the trainings, so far we've been implementing the 5 lessons with about from 120 to 150 workers so far. The majority were men, 83. It's consistent with the literature that we found. 17% of the participants in these trainings were women. An average of 4 hours per worker are attending this training, so we think that 4 lessons have been completed by each worker. It's a little bit less from an hour and 20 minutes, the duration of the lesson. And the characteristics of the participants is that also similar to the literature. More or less 9 years of education. They have an average of 5 years of experience in working in dairy farms and 9 years living in the U.S. And we can extrapolate from this that workers in these farms have been working in other sectors when they come previously before dairy work. 16% of them reported having any injury. We don't know if it's minor or a severe, what depending on the conception they have of an injury. And 58% of them never received safety training before. And these are the effect sizes that we found from our pre and post assessments during the lessons. We have the assessments from 4 lessons, and the majority of them are changing their knowledge, according to this assessment, in about 35%, more or less. The promotor de seguridad, we are already identifying some potential promotores de seguridad in every farm. And what we are looking for, according to our results on the focus groups, is that it can be a woman or a man. It doesn't matter. When we asked workers during the focus groups, what would you prefer, a man or a woman, there's no preference. So we can select any promotor or promotora de seguridad accordingly. Workers also requested that the promotor de seguridad should be a person that is experienced in dairy farms and also that is willing to learn. Because sometimes, as we saw, they don't have previous experience on safety in dairy farms. We are also looking, and the workers are requesting, that the promotor de seguridad must have very good interpersonal skills to communicate and network with both workers and with the manager or the owner of the farm. We are looking for promotores de seguridad who have an average education level of from 7 to 9 years old. We found sometimes workers with university degree working as dairy workers, and some others that are really illiterate in the farm. We will request some English skills, and also the promotor de seguridad, we think, should be identified by the farmer, but also welcomed and accepted by the workers. What have we learned with this training so far? Well, we are changing knowledge. We know that the workers do not have safety trainings before, and we are correcting misconceptions about safety. They are changing their perceptions. They are changing their points of view about the taking risks or fatalism or manhood, that they need to take risks. And we have heard a lot of aha moments after the participation in these trainings, with verbatim comments like, "I am surprised, really," or a woman told us that, "I've been working for 7 years in a farm, and this is the first time I'm learning about point of balance, the blind spot, and how to handle cattle, for example." And another worker said, "We think it's a small injury, but actually you can die from it." So they are changing their perceptions, they are changing their knowledge, they are understanding that using headphones is not the same as hearing protection, and that kind of stuff. At the end of every training, we ask participants, what information impacted you the most? And speaking about the cattle lesson, they say that how to take off gloves, because they are, as Amy mentioned, full of manure all over their hair, their caps, their t-shirts, their gloves. And so taking off the gloves is very important to prevent transmission from fecal-oral transmission. They also were impacted by how to recognize when a cow is stressed and how to do hand washing correctly. In terms of the lesson about machinery and equipment, they were astonished to learn about the 3 points of contact when getting up or down from the skid steer or from the tractor. Almost none of them knew about that they had a worker right as a worker. And, of course, much less about the workers' compensation, what it means and what is covered through that. They were astonished to learn also that the law requires them to inform workers about the chemical exposures, the risks of being in contact with chemicals, and what is a confined space. They weren't sure about that. And so we had also some caveats, some challenges during the intervention, because we are noticing that now during the trainings. It's been very difficult to find an outreach worker, because we need someone who is bilingual, who has experience in training, who knows a little bit of Frankenstein, as Matt was explaining before, that knows a little bit of everything. And according to the facilitator, there are several issues in organizing the trainings because of the distance between farms, the time shifts available, and the weather, of course. And from the farm perspective, there are some seasons in the farm that will be difficult to gather workers, to subtract workers from their typical tasks and come to a training. That is the spring season and the crop season, the harvest season. Also, sometimes workers are in the training and the farmer calls them because something needs to be addressed right away. So they are attending the talk for a short time instead of the full time that we are requesting. And also, some farmers are requesting certain lessons to be taught to the workers, like, for example, only chemicals or only cattle handling. And from the perspective of the workers, we see that they are tired. They've been working for 1.5 shifts they are coming to the training at 7 a.m. when they worked since yesterday from 3 p.m. So that's really a problem when capturing their attention. They are late to the trainings also because they are busy until they finish whatever they are doing. They are distracted sometimes. They are taking care of other issues during the training. And sometimes they are unaware of their presence during the training. They are called to come to a training by the farmer, but they are not really sure what they're doing there. So until one or two lessons, they are saying, oh, this is what I was supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to be learning here. And that's it. Any question?
Just on time.
It wasn't terribly difficult at all because one of the things that OSHA is requiring is worker training. And we offered free worker training in Spanish, which was difficult for them to get somebody who could do that anyway, so it was pretty easy.
The community health workers are going to be paid by the farmers or by the farmers?
Yes, we are planning that the promotor de seguridad is going to spend like 2 hours per month in doing these observations, in talking with others, clarifying information, and the farmer is willing to pay that from their own pay job to do those activities. No? No. Yes, and that's the difference between a community health worker and a promotor de seguridad in this case. We are moving the setting from a community to a working site.
So they take 2 hours a month, you said?
More or less.
So is it one person, many farms are hiring this person each to 2 hours for their farm?
Every farm will have one promotor. Yes, it's a worker. Yes, it's a worker. It's a co-worker identified and appointed by the farmer, but it's local. It's a worker, yeah.
And that's a big difference in what we're trying to do from the traditional
which is the same thing with community health workers or promotoras de salud in any community. They are from their community and they help their community.
So who's the, is the community health worker in the system at all or not
really? No, we are calling it, it's a transference of a model, but it's not called...
You guys are doing the education, right?
Yes, we have our outreach worker, exactly. That's a very interesting question. And we addressed that at the beginning when, well, we are going to say this and you are entitled to this when the farmer is not providing this. So we showed the lesson content to the farmer, not to approve it, but at least to he or she will know what are we going to teach. And we are managing the information in terms of general information in the state and with certain issues. We are saying that the farm needs to have certain number of workers to be able to provide workers' compensation, for example. That OSHA is a general law in the nation that protects workers anywhere. So they have to go from there to conversation with the farmer if they want to address those issues, because that question has been coming out after the trainings. What do I do now? This is my right, and I see that it's not being covered, so it's
beyond us. I think that Matt brought up that's actually really important, like whether or not OSHA actually goes to farms or not. The fact that there's an LEP, and we tell the farmer that this is part of what an OSHA requirement is, that empowers us a lot that this is a training that's needed. And then there are issues that arise, but that LEP is a real helpful aspect
of
this program.
And we are trying to be objective in terms of workers' rights. For example, the farmer has a right and a responsibility, but the workers also. So if there is an injury, there is a responsibility of the worker to report the injury because it's required by OSHA to fill out the form 300-something. So it's part of the dual responsibility and two-way responsibility of in terms of workers' rights. For example, is the responsibility of the employer to provide personal protective equipment according to the tasks of that worker, but is the responsibility of the worker to wear that PPE because sometimes they are not wearing eye or gloves. Lesson learned. It's very difficult to keep for 1 hour so many questions and interaction with participants, and they are tired. So if they are coming from one shift, they have to go to the next shift. So trying to implement the lesson in the time length that we are planning, that's a very sad to me.